And I think anyone right now, and this is all I'm saying, cautionary tale, there were a bunch of people that built their business on Twitter, and how did that work out for them?
Not well.
There's a bunch of people that built their business on Reddit. How's that going for them?
Not well.
Okay. Don't build your business on someone else's platform. Hey, buddy.
What's up, dude?
Hey, so I wanted to get on here. I know we've got a couple episodes coming out that are about some things we've been doing this summer, what's in the future, but
you
know, I want to meet the moment right now with what's happening in the world, and so I figured we could jump on and interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to talk about what is consuming Amir's life, his smartphone battery, and his well-being.
Not facts. So, okay. If you've been living under a rock, this might be new to you. But if you haven't, there's a new app released last week called Threads.
By one of the worst companies in America.
Which somehow is becoming good.
Because they're
not going to talk about that. Because they're not
the other guy.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not going to talk about this.
It's a sliding scale. And it's like, well, there's the devil. And then there's this one that's like probably the devil. But it's not that bad. He's not threatening cock measuring contests online. So we'll just do him.
Yeah. Not literally. So here's what happened. Okay. So I'm going to give our listeners who already know but may not know a quick rundown of history.
Yeah.
So there was an app called Twitter. It came out a long time ago. Never profitable. Never really did anything business-wise that made sense. However, what Twitter did was create a space for people to talk.
Yeah.
Right? News and media could share stories on there. People could share their thoughts. You could respond to one another. That was it. That was the platform. Better or worse, it existed the way it was. Recently, this person named Elon bought Twitter because he had money to blow, whatever. We don't need to get into that. And ever since then, Twitter's kind of been just a flaming pile of shit. And it's been losing users left and right. It's been losing advertisers left and right.
Sure.
And as a result, there's been other platforms that have popped up. There's a lot of them. And we're not going to go into them because there's just a lot of them.
I think we're going to touch on a couple. But
we're going to touch on a couple. But for perspective, Twitter right now has about just under 400 million active, users. Not active users, but users.
Yeah.
Okay? Big. Not Facebook big with 2 billion. Not Instagram big, but big. Different platform. So since this whole acquisition, flaming pile of shit thing that's happened, one of the big apps that's popped up has been Mastodon.
Yep.
So Mastodon created this platform that's very similar to Twitter in the way you engage with it.
Yep.
Very different than Twitter in the way that it's built on the Fediverse or the federalized universe. Essentially, it's this idea that you can access this from anywhere. Like, you're not tied to this one ecosystem. It's not regulated. It's a decentralized network.
Yeah.
It's kind of the foundation for maybe a metaverse, so to speak, at one point, right? But this is a baby part of it. Mastodon has been around for maybe a year now.
No.
6 months?
Mastodon's been around for about 6 years, maybe seven.
Okay, but really taken off recently.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. And by really taken off, I mean they have 4.5 million users now.
Yep.
So they have a tenth of the user base that Twitter has.
Yep.
Okay, so we got these two. People don't really know where to go, what to do. So now we're going to talk about Mark Zuckerberg. So Mark has been in charge of Meta for a long time, and he's been trying a lot of different things. He's acquired a lot of companies, but he's really been trying to create this thing. And most recently, there's been a lot of talk of him creating the Metaverse $10 billion, I think, project that really hasn't panned out to anything.
Yep.
And along the way, they decided to create a chat app called Threads.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they didn't think twice of it. Just a chat app built off of the premise of Instagram. But where Instagram is focused on photos, this is focused on conversations.
Yeah.
They both have both, but that's the primary focus. Well, a week ago, Elon, bring him back in, decided to put limits on how much people could use Twitter. Now, this is mind-boggling because it's a social media platform. You want people to engage.
Yeah.
But now you're going to limit them and virtually just saying, if you want to engage more, you have to pay.
Yeah.
So you have to pay to be able to talk on this platform, which is stupid. So Mark turned around, and last minute they dropped Threads. So they dropped Threads. We're recording this on Monday the 10th. They released Threads, I think, was it Wednesday or Thursday of last week?
Yeah.
Today's, right. So we're talking like after 4th of July, like the 5th or 6th. As of this morning, Threads has 100 million users. They are a quarter the size of Facebook or of Twitter in 5 days.
Yeah.
And essentially what they did was kind of genius. They said, hey, your Instagram account, you download Threads, it links right over, all your information comes right over.
100%.
And everybody you follow, you can quickly just press one button and follow them all as well. Really, really easy. And all of a sudden, you saw people popping up on Threads and engaging right away.
Yeah.
Like everybody you could think of that you follow is on there, right? So kind of really cool. What I, and I'm one of those people, by the way. I don't know what number I was on Threads. I'm 1 million something.
Sure.
But I'm there, right? So here's what has really been compelling for me with Threads. And it's kind of really been fun and refreshing in a way. I look at the timeline. Now, there's a lot of things with Threads on the timeline right now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just look at people you follow. Everything is just kind of a mess in a sense. But it's organized chaos.
Right.
Right. You see posts, there's algorithms that are working that will show you things more or less based on what you've been looking at, but it's all there. And you can just read, reply, post, reply, like.
Yeah.
That's it. What I have really enjoyed about it, and it has absolutely been killing my battery, it has absolutely been dominating my screen time.
Yeah.
And I'm not on there all day, but when I'm on there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Is it has been really fun to read what people say and reply. It's a thread. It's built around the premise of being a conversation.
Sure.
And it's been refreshing. And you make fun of me for it.
No.
But for the first time, I'm actually more of a producer than a consumer.
Yeah.
I mostly just consume. Now I'm actually producing. It's fun.
Okay.
I'm threading.
You're... God. It's not that I'm making fun of you. Okay, I want to go backwards just a little
bit.
And we won't make this too long because I know we're trying to get this out. But, like, when did you join Twitter? Do you remember?
2008, I think, is when I joined Twitter.
Okay. So I'm December 7. So it launches in July of 6.
Right.
That first year, basically, it was just an app. It wasn't even an app. It was a text message system, right?
Right.
Then it became an app. And then, you know, you and I got, you know, phones
into it
and we got it.
Yeah.
And the story at the time for Twitter, for those that weren't here then, was what the hell's the point of this? People just say what they're eating. Like, that's all that happens.
I remember that.
Is people just post, ate a taco today, ate a banana today, right? And then over the course of that year, I mean, people like Leo Laporte, people like, you know, tech people, right? They would lead. There was a leaderboard. They had the most followers, and they'd have like 8,000 followers, 10,000 followers. And there were absolutely no celebrities, and there were absolutely no news platforms. It was just for tech nerds. That's the only people that were on Twitter.
Yep.
And then there was the celebrity explosion, right, that happens in 2008, end of 2008, early 2009, right? And I think it's Britney Spears, but I can't remember. Maybe it's Jay-Z. It's someone that, like, went crazy, and they got a million followers, right? And then it was gone. Like, I mean, all the tech people were out of the story by then.
Yeah.
Because it was all celebrities. And what media platforms figured out is that Twitter was a great place to just put your brand out there.
Right.
And people could talk to your brand. And then that became a thing. People would tweet back, and they would threaten to respond on Twitter to companies that they didn't like, and companies freaked out. They're like, oh my God, there's these people, and they're tweeting. And companies hadn't figured out that there's like nine people that are mad.
And it worked. And it worked.
Totally worked, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, Twitter became the conversation in the world, and not in a way like Facebook from a size standpoint would ever be, but when... You know, there were protests in Iran, when there were real things that happened, moments that are really important to our history, Twitter became this place where people could talk about it, where people could get out to the world that something was happening when it was scary. And it was really important. It did feel really important.
And in a lot of ways, it maintained that same level of engagement in that sense or importance up until Elon bought it.
Well, I mean, I don't think so.
Like, well, I mean, it dropped a little bit, but even like when the Ukraine war started, like you were hearing ways of information getting out on Twitter because it couldn't get out in other methods, right?
I agree.
You see it more in third world countries that like where governments block the internet, like in Iran. But that was a way. I mean, people knew Twitter. It was easy to get information out on Twitter, and it was a lifeline for a lot of people in a lot of places.
100%. I'm not doubting that. I think what I meant, though, is like Twitter for me changes dramatically in the end of 15 and into 16.
Okay.
Because in that election season in America, there was this discovery of like, you know, Barack had used Twitter and social media for the first time in an election in 2008 and again in 2012. Yeah. There was a realization from politics that they could, I don't want to use the term weaponize, but they could rally a whole bunch of people around a cause. Yeah. And you could use what was becoming the really awful part from Gamergate to other things about Twitter, which was you could take out someone, right? You could put a whole bunch of people quote tweeting and responding and tweeting and basically ruining someone's life.
Right.
And so Twitter became really divisive in lots of ways. Now, I use Twitter, I think like you did, primarily as a news source. I followed news places that I wanted to see. It was a replacement for an RSS reader. And my number one love of Twitter was something happens cool in sports. I'm going to go on Twitter and see what people are saying. Will Smith slaps Chris Rock. I'm going to Twitter.
Right.
Like I want to see the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as then Elon takes over and you know, we kind of all watch that journey. And I'm going to defend Elon very slightly here. Mm-hmm. And I mean very slightly.
You know,
this is hard for me.
Very.
Twitter was a terribly run company that was not profitable. And the decisions that he's making are necessary. He just is handling them like the world's biggest douchebag. Cutting off third-party apps is actually not the wrong business decision. His method's wrong. His approach is wrong. His response is wrong. Cutting jobs there, not really the wrong decision. His way, completely wrong.
Right. Not but paying like, rent also, not the...
having bots have to pay money to be able to use it because they're overusing the platform without donating to the API, I don't actually think is wrong. But again, everything he does, he just does the worst version of a good idea.
Sure.
That's his way, right?
Yeah.
So when... And this, I'm going to side up with you here.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home and we get stuck. 2 hour stuck in a 18 wheeler caught on fire. And so I'm literally in park sitting on a freeway. And I knew Threads was coming that day, but they had said they were pushing up the lineup. And then all of a sudden I went to my news app and it said Threads launched. And I was like, boop, 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 click. Like, and I was in.
And you're there.
Oh my God.
And you're threading. I mean,
super fast to get in. And what was really interesting is, so 2.5 hours later, I get to Vegas, and I told you I didn't feel well, so I just literally went to my room, and I was laying there, but now I'm reading Threads, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels like Twitter in 2008.
It does.
It feels like people are just excited to talk about things. There's these inane jokes, these like silly threads that don't matter. Companies, some of them are super stupid. They're just like posting emojis of themselves. I don't know what they're doing.
So my favorite thing is this trend that's been happening where companies will just post endless emojis in one thread. So like for example, BMW just posted like 100 car emojis back to back.
Right.
Or like Wendy's was like 100 fry emojis. It's just stupid, but it is. You're right. It is Twitter from 2008.
Totally.
And it's refreshing.
It is. But here's what's interesting, and you brought up Mastodon, so I wanted to go back here.
Yeah.
So the Threads in and of itself is not that interesting, right? I mean, it is not a lot different than Twitter
new.
Was in 2008. It's not really a new idea. Conceptually, it's like basically
just
the same
a rebirth premise. Of an idea.
Yeah. And I wrote a post on a blog I used to run about how I thought Google Buzz was going to whoop Twitter because it was a better version and it didn't matter. And it was better, but it didn't matter because better isn't always the winner. It couldn't get critical mass, and therefore it couldn't win, right? And so I'm interested in this platform, I don't love Zuck, and I don't love Facebook. I really don't love Meta. And so there's a piece of me that's like, we'll see here, Amir. Like, I'm not actually sure how I think this is going to turn out. Mm-hmm. But where I'm interested is really the Fediverse. And so Mastodon, the reason it's significant is Mastodon launched in 2016. And the idea of Mastodon is the problem with Twitter is Twitter owns Twitter. Right. So if Twitter's owned by someone you like and run in a way you like, it's all good. But the moment it's run by someone you don't like, now you have different rules that you don't want to follow, and it doesn't feel very good no matter who you are, right?
Right, right.
Mastodon removes that from the story. Amir can run his own server on Mastodon, and I can run my own server, and a company can run their own server, and yeah. my server can talk to your server. And just like email, we don't all have to be on the same email client to be able to email each other, right?
Right.
And so Mastodon is in this Fediverse in this way, ActivityPub being the back end. And the thing that's interesting about Threads is that they've committed that that's their intention.
Yeah.
Is that this will contribute and be run through ActivityPub. Now, I do not believe them because history tells me that Meta will steal all your information and do terrible things to you. So yeah. if Threads is fun, use it. If you think it's an interesting conversation, have it. If it's the place where I get to go have Victor Wimbayama conversations, I'm in for that. Like, I am here for it. I downloaded it. It is literally on my home screen right now. Mm-hmm. But if you think I'm going to fall for the same bullshit of believing that this is good for the world and going to move our world forward, like, no, it's social media. It's not good for the world. It has good moments, and it's mostly going to be bad, and it's probably going to be evil in the end. But, hey, I'm willing to give it another shot because I miss the days of being able to talk about sports. And honestly, ever since I dipped out on Twitter a year ago or 9 months ago, whatever that was, like, mm-hmm. I've gotten my news from an RSS feeder, but I've been bored out of my mind every time something cool happens in the world and I can't go get the conversation. So yeah. bring on the Threads. Just know that I'm doing it with the world's fattest grain of salt.
Like rock salt?
Like some like real like molten salt, like that thick stuff.
Like salt bay salt.
Fuck that guy. That guy sucks. That guy did one meme. He's not even good.
Skinny fries.